Now then, for our next story. Kirsten, she's always been fascinated with a nearby abandoned mental hospital. So one day, she decides to pay the place a visit. And for protection, she takes along her close friend Marsha and an off-duty cop. She also takes along a tape recorder. Now, the one thing she knows about this hospital, it's the same place where her cousin was confined.
She had never wanted to talk to me about it. And what did she see? What did she feel? What was her life like while she was there? We walk up to the door. We see that it has a glass panel in it. We look through. And as soon as we're inside, we close it and we test it. We want to make sure that that door is unlocked. We walk down the hallway, we see this labyrinth of patient rooms, nurses' stations, and we eventually arrive at a huge room that seems to be filled with some kind of cages. As we start walking, I'm hearing conversation down the hallway. We're all listening to this, people talking. It's very muffled, it's very distant. The officer decides, okay, tells us, girls, you stay here. I'm going to go check out and see what's going on down the hallway. So he goes down. He's got his hand on his gun. He gets down to the end of that hallway. He comes back. He said, there's nobody there. And the conversation, he said, stopped. As soon as he got at a certain point down the hallway, he didn't hear anything anymore. We sit down on the ground. We get our audio out. Marsha starts asking a few questions to whoever might still be in that room with us. And she's asking, how do you feel about not getting out? How do you feel about being trapped in here? And that's when all hell breaks loose.
We hear you.
Now listen.
The walls start shaking and reverberating.
Look, it's okay. And I feel this burning pain along my lower back. I turn around, I pull up my shirt to see what's happened, and I see this angry red mark across my lower back.
The officer jumps to his feet and takes off down the hallway. We grab our stuff, we get it together as quickly as we can, and we go tearing off. There are shadows and cold breezes running past us. The banging is moving down the hallway. It looks like we've landed in one of those Escher paintings. Every single time you think you're going to escape, you end up back where you started. We come out into this enormous room, and I said, holy crap, this is the same room where we started. That's the door with the glass panel. That's the one we came in. We're like, this is it. We're getting out. The officer tries the door and it's locked. And I said, no, that's not possible. It can't be locked because it was open when we came in. So I go and I try the door and I can't make it open. Officer Mark tells us to stand back and he starts kicking the door and he kicks it with all of his force. And he kicks it over and over and over again to the point where I start to get nervous and I think, all right, it's clearly locked. Almost instantaneously, the hysteria level goes up. Officer Mark stops kicking the door. We start walking. We end up in this room. Marsha turns around to us and says, this is gonna end now. She has a look on her face that I don't recognize. And she goes over to the corner and she picks up this big hunk of metal. It looks like a crowbar, but I don't know what it is. She starts wailing on this window with all of her force, and it's making a tremendous racket. And at the same time, Mark is running around, literally like going in circles, pacing around in circles with his hand on his gun. I don't know what's going on around me anymore. He's not listening to me. And so I just wander up to this window looking over a courtyard, and I hold on to the bars and I look down there and I just realize I'm never leaving. And this is where it gets difficult to talk about, because I'm starting not to feel like myself anymore. I was gone. I know there are patients behind me. I know that they're sitting there and they're watching TV. I know they're drugged in the corners. I know they're strapped in their beds. I knew exactly what it felt like to be a patient at that hospital. All I was doing was holding onto these bars, looking down at a courtyard that I knew I was never, ever, ever going to see again. And I remember telling myself this story about my life, and I'm a professor at a college. Remember that? Remember that? And I'm thinking about my kid, I'm thinking about my husband, and everything in my life, how much I appreciated it. At the same time, somebody was trying to take it away from me, and it was the most hopeless, the saddest thing I've ever felt in my life. From behind a tree, I remember seeing this woman appear who seemed almost more like a vision than an actual person, because she's dressed completely in white. And Marsha leans over and says, "Hey, hey, up here, we're trapped. We have to get out of here. We got in and now we can't get out. And can you please help us?" And she's responding to us, "It's okay, it's okay, don't panic." So then we grab our stuff. As we're heading back, we don't feel anything. There are no dark shadows or shapes. We can still see the lady in white. We wave to her, she waves back. We keep moving down, and eventually we find the original door. We can see these dent marks around the bottom where Officer Mark was kicking it with all of his force. I know the door is locked. And we see her coming down. She literally looks to be glowing. I see her come up to the door, lean down a little bit, grab the handle, and she opens the door.
Thank you so much, Kirsten, for sharing that story. Glad to know you were finally able to get out. We'll have a link to Kirsten's blog, which includes pictures, on our website, snapjudgment.org. That story was produced by Anna Adlerstein and Davey Kim.